Subheading: What are the Gentile times? A careful examination of the context of the prophecy regarding Jerusalem being trampled on until the appointed times of the nations have ended reveals that Jesus made no reference or allusion to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, which had occurred over 5 centuries earlier. The reason the apostles directly asked Jesus for a sign was because their Lord had earlier told them that the temple was going to be completely destroyed, so that not even a stone would be left upon a stone. The destruction of Solomon's temple over 500 years before was of no immediate concern to the apostles. They wanted to know the future, not the past. And Jesus was clearly prophesying about a future time when the temple and the holy city of Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Roman legions. Besides that, the watchtower seems to have overlooked one very fundamental truth, namely that Jerusalem and the temple were rebuilt after the Babylonian conquest. Though it may be said that the Chaldean invaders stomped Jerusalem into the dust, Jehovah intervened and reversed that situation. While it is true that Jerusalem forever after remained under authority of a succession of Gentile kingdoms, including Persia, Greece, and Rome during the time of Christ, according to the prophets, though, when Babylon was overthrown by Cyrus, God's chastened, woman-like organization then arose from the dust, and Jehovah bestowed upon Jerusalem her former glory. And although the Jews during the time of Christ may have despised their Roman occupiers, mainly because of the taxes and tributes that were imposed upon them, the fact of the matter is that the Jews were given a great measure of autonomy, particularly in matters of worship. Most importantly, the worship of Jehovah in Jerusalem was not suppressed. That is why it was such an outrage when the Roman disgusting thing violated the Jewish temple in 66 CE in fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy. So, it is simply out of the question that the apostles would have understood Jesus to mean that the nation had been trampling upon Jerusalem from the time of Nebuchadnezzar. There is therefore no scriptural justification in applying the 7 times of Daniel to the appointed times of the nations about which Christ spoke. However, neither is there any scriptural indication that the appointed times of the nations began when the Roman imperial legions trampled the Jewish holy place in 70 CE. Clearly, the prophecy of Jerusalem's destruction had a much further-reaching application, foreshadowing a modern-day disgusting thing that would bring desolation to a place holy to God. It may properly be concluded that the appointed times have to do with the interval that God allows the symbolic Jerusalem and its holy place to be trampled underfoot and lay desolate. Furthermore, there is compelling reason to believe that the real appointed times of the nations are still future. At Matthew 24:15-16, Jesus indicated that the desolation and trampling of the holy place in Jerusalem would be in fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel. Specifically, Jesus stated, "Therefore, when you catch sight of the disgusting thing that causes desolation, as spoken through Daniel the prophet, standing in a holy place," let the reader use discernment, "then let those in Judea begin fleeing to the mountains." The discerning reader of the book of Daniel is sure to take note of the fact that the prophecy foretells in several places that the holy ones and the land of the decoration, along with the holy place, sanctuary, and constant feature, are brought to ruin and trampled upon by the nations for a specified period of time. Jehovah's Witnesses, though, believe that Christendom is the modern-day holy place, for the reason that ancient Jerusalem was unfaithful to God, which is why God decreed that she should be destroyed. If that is the case, though, why does the parallel version of Christ's prophecy in the book of Mark say that the disgusting thing will be standing where it ought not? If the holy place actually represents the unholy place of Christendom's multitude of contradictory denominations and sects, it would seem that the political disgusting thing should find a welcome home instead of standing where it ought not. The prevailing belief is that, as an organization, the Watchtower and Jehovah's Witnesses are in an approved standing before God. Because Christ foretold that the holy place will be desolated as a result of God's meting out justice, for that reason, it is naively assumed that the holy place must mean something other than the spiritual temple made up of God's holy ones. Yet, a few verses further on in that very same context, Jesus spoke about Jerusalem being trampled on for an appointed time, which the Watchtower interprets to represent God's heavenly kingdom. Surely, it is inconsistent and contradictory and indicative of an artificial interpretation of Christ's words for the Watchtower to attach two different interpretations to what Jerusalem and the holy place symbolize, especially given the fact that the desolation of the holy place in Jerusalem and the appointed times for the nations to trample Jerusalem are in context. Most importantly, Christ Jesus himself recognized Jerusalem as the holy city. He even called Jerusalem the city of the great king. Not only that, but Jesus cleansed Jehovah's temple on two separate occasions, calling it the house of my Father. So even though the Jewish religion at that time was corrupt, Jesus did not view the temple itself and what it represented as something unholy. Otherwise, why would Jesus have gone to the trouble of throwing the money changers out of the temple? As a faithful Jew, Jesus showed reverence for God's temple. It grieved him deeply to have to pronounce woe upon Jerusalem and its beautiful temple. Indeed, on the occasion of his last trip to the holy city, Jesus wept as he viewed Jerusalem from afar. In view of Jesus' feelings toward Jerusalem and the temple, it is not likely that he intended his references to the holy place in Jerusalem to symbolize unholy Christendom.